Searching for Trickle-Down Tourism. Adapted from the New York Times, Monday, April the 11th, 2005. To see the mountain gorillas in Rwanda. Andy Curry, his wife, Betty Jo, and 10 other tourists hopped into SUVs and sped toward Volcanoes National Park. We passed women walking, carrying huge bales of straw on their heads and water jugs, said Curry, a retired Atlanta dentist, about the drive along a narrow dirt road. They had to move out of our way. You feel guilty. The feeling never went away. It resurfaced that week when they checked into the Novotel, a 4-star hotel in the capital, Kigali. Down the street are Rwandan homes without running water or electricity. We were in La La Land, says Curry, who was on a $2,700 week-long vacation with Cox and Kings USA, a Florida-based tour operator. Rwanda, where the average person earns 76 cents a day, expects 30,000 tourists this year, up 82% from 2 years ago. That number is an encouraging sign that the country is beginning to win back tourists 11 years after the end of genocide there. These tourists are people booking expensive trips through travel agents in North America or Europe, and who are expected to spend an estimated $75 million this year. But almost none of that money will benefit the country's many struggling communities, some experts say. You can argue what you like for trickle-down, but it is easy for the money to bypass the community and stay in the hands of transnational companies, says the director of the International Center for Responsible Tourism, a founder of the pro-poverty tourism movement. Tourism in the world's poorest countries is growing faster than anywhere else in the world because tickets are cheaper, and these countries will have natural and cultural resources to exploit. However, indigenous people are now offering their own vacation packages, and community tourism, once considered a low-budget concept among backpackers and well-meaning travelers, has grown from grassroots to mainstream in the past 35 years, as more vacationers escape with their eyes open to the world around them, wanting to help. For the communities sponsoring these activities, the value is usually greater than the money spent. Profits allow plans to hire a doctor and a teacher, for example. The most successful projects seem to be those in partnership with a commercial tour operator or a non-profit organization. Searching for Trickle-Down Tourism. Adapted from the New York Times, Monday, April the 11th, 2005. To see the mountain gorillas in Rwanda. Andy Curry, his wife, Betty Jo, and 10 other tourists hopped into SUVs and sped toward Volcanoes National Park. We passed women walking, carrying huge bales of straw on their heads and water jugs, said Curry, a retired Atlanta dentist, about the drive along a narrow dirt road. They had to move out of our way. You feel guilty. The feeling never went away. It resurfaced that week when they checked into the Novotel, a 4-star hotel in the capital, Kigali. Down the street are Rwandan homes without running water or electricity. We were in La La Land, says Curry, who was on a $2,700 week-long vacation with Cox and Kings USA, a Florida-based tour operator. Rwanda, where the average person earns 76 cents a day, expects 30,000 tourists this year, up 82% from 2 years ago. That number is an encouraging sign that the country is beginning to win back tourists 11 years after the end of genocide there. These tourists are people booking expensive trips through travel agents in North America or Europe, and who are expected to spend an estimated $75 million this year. But almost none of that money will benefit the country's many struggling communities, some experts say. You can argue what you like for trickle-down, but it is easy for the money to bypass the community and stay in the hands of transnational companies, says the director of the International Center for Responsible Tourism, a founder of the pro-poverty tourism movement. Tourism in the world's poorest countries is growing faster than anywhere else in the world, because tickets are cheaper, and these countries will have natural and cultural resources to exploit. However, indigenous people are now offering their own vacation packages, and community tourism, once considered a low-budget concept among backpackers and well-meaning travellers, has grown from grassroots to mainstream in the past 35 years, as more vacationers escape with their eyes open to the world around them, wanting to help. For the communities sponsoring these activities, the value is usually greater than the money spent. Profits allow plans to hire a doctor and a teacher, for example. The most successful projects seem to be those in partnership with a commercial tour operator or a non-profit organization. Searching for Trickle-Down Tourism, adapted from the New York Times, Monday, April the 11th, 2005. To see the mountain gorillas in Rwanda, Andy Curry, his wife, Betty Jo, and 10 other tourists hopped into SUVs and sped toward Volcanoes National Park. We passed women walking, carrying huge bales of straw on their heads and water jugs, said Curry, a retired Atlanta dentist, about the drive along a narrow dirt road. They had to move out of our way. You feel guilty. The feeling never went away. It resurfaced that week when they checked into the Novotel, a 4-star hotel in the capital, Kigali. Down the street are Rwandan homes without running water or electricity. We were in La La Land, says Curry, who was on a $2,700 week-long vacation with Cox and Kings USA, a Florida-based tour operator. Rwanda, where the average person earns 76 cents a day, expects 30,000 tourists this year, up 82% from 2 years ago. That number is an encouraging sign that the country is beginning to win back tourists 11 years after the end of genocide there. These tourists are people booking expensive trips through travel agents in North America or Europe, and who are expected to spend an estimated $75 million this year. But almost none of that money will benefit the country's many struggling communities, some experts say. You can argue what you like for trickle-down, but it is easy for the money to bypass the community and stay in the hands of transnational companies, says the director of the International Center for Responsible Tourism, a founder of the pro-poverty tourism movement. Tourism in the world's poorest countries is growing faster than anywhere else in the world, because tickets are cheaper, and these countries will have natural and cultural resources to exploit. However, indigenous people are now offering their own vacation packages, and community tourism, once considered a low-budget concept among backpackers and well-meaning travellers, has grown from grassroots to mainstream in the past 35 years, as more vacationers escape with their eyes open to the world around them, wanting to help. For the communities sponsoring these activities, the value is usually greater than the money spent. Profits allow plans to hire a doctor and a teacher, for example. The most successful projects seem to be those in partnership with a commercial tour operator or a non-profit organization.